One of the things that I do that helps, y'all are always asking me about my time management and how I get so much done and stuff like that. I do this thing called mega batching, where I take groups of things that are alike, and then I try to do them in blocks on certain days. So on Wednesdays, you'll notice there's always a coaching call. It's the same day that I meet with the team. It's the same day I have what's called a mastermind, where I meet with other people who are like, they help me figure out like website stuff, something like that. And then just a variety, like the Facebook Live is always on Wednesday morning. So I try to do things that are just going to require me to talk all day long. And I'm not going to work on projects for you guys on this day. So my brain stays very trained on one thing that day. Thursdays are project days. So on Thursdays, what I do is I don't schedule calls and stuff, but I schedule the things I want to do. So if I am like, I know y'all think all I do is read books, but I'm reading this one also. So I'm reading Atomic Habits and the 5 a.m. Club right now. And what I do is I read and I make notes and I think about ways to teach it and things that are coming up. Are we going to make this a part of camp? Am I going to add this to material? Like, how do I want to best get this stuff out to you guys? So it's a little peek into how I do things. So, and I think that's really important for you guys as you're losing weight. You know, a lot of us think that losing weight takes so much time. It takes, you know, it's like, it's just exhausting. It's all these things. That's why I'm such a big believer in batching your work. So if you batch some food to be ready for the rest of the week, you don't have to expend a lot of energy. You just expend a lot of energy in one time. The rest of the week is simple. I do my plan each day so that the rest of the day, I no longer have to think about my food. So there's like these things that I put into place. All right. So raise your hand if you signed up for coaching. I've got Tina with her hand raised high right now. Let me go in here. Pull up this calendar so I make sure. Sometimes I end up calling on the wrong damn people. Also had to get some coffee in my "you just got lit up" cup. Tina, Parmjeet, Barbara, and Janice. I think it might be Janice. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're getting Permy. You put your name in as Permy. It's the little things, y'all, that get me excited. And we need to put a call out for people in the Queen's Club. There's three spots open tonight. All right. Hey.
Hi.
I'm always like I never remember names at all, but I remember faces like nobody's business. So it's always just like, who's going to be on the call? And then it's like, oh, it's so-and-so.
Yeah. Well, I heard Permy's name, and I'm so excited to stay on to see her call because I always get so much from her.
I know she has, I get a lot out of coaching her. So there you go. So what are we coaching on today, Missy?
Well, I'm in, some transition. So I started my new job.
Okay. I'm going to get my board while you're talking.
Okay, perfect. So I travel 3 weeks a month. So I'm like 3 weeks on, and then I'm 1 week back home doing my thing. And, I think the best way that I'm going to be able, because I've been traveling now for about a month, and so I've had sort of like one cycle, and I think that the best way for me to live my best life on the road is to have a morning routine. And I'm just really struggling to find the right fit. So I read the 5 a.m. Miracle, and I like have the Savers acronym, and I can't seem to get all of that in, and I don't know that I want to get all of it in. So I think I just want to brainstorm with you. What is going to set me up for the best day to be my best for work, and then to like live, like make the best choices then after work. So I'm not like, oh, let's just go have a cheeseburger because I made it through my work day.
Well, I just want to applaud you because as you're talking, I was like, this is a PNP girl. She's sitting here trying to solve her problems. Like, you didn't come in and like, oh my God, now I'm traveling and I don't know what to do and blah, blah, blah. So I just, you really need a high five for coming in and saying, I did a month of experimentation. I've done some research, and I would like to find the best way to do this and brainstorm some solutions. So anyway, I just
think I'm pretty conditioned not to come to you with a problem unless I've tried at least.
Yeah, exactly. Some people come in and like step right in the shit. So no, but it's really good though. I want you to just take a moment though to see how from, because we've had several calls where you didn't start off trying to problem solve. You felt like, what did we coach like on a couple times ago?
So I was dialing in the hunger scale with my new medication, and that I think was the most useful one. That was a few months ago. That's still fucked up, but like I'm trying every day. So like I'm sick of talking about that because I talk about that with my accountability group. I talk about that with my accountability partner. I talk about that with my mailman. I talk about that with...
Don't bring me the mail until you bring me a package of hunger scale knowledge. Right, exactly. But I just wanted to point it out because we have a lot of newbies here today. And one of the things that I want them to see is you came in here, everybody always has some kind of a problem, right? And you came in here saying, I'm looking for a solution rather than let me give you my backstory. Whenever someone says, let me give you my backstory, let me tell you why this is my problem, it's because I've not owned that there's a solution. I'm still trying to figure out how to blame something for my problem.
So, well, and for me, what's been really useful, I mean, for the newbies and whoever, but what I like to do is have sort of a list of potential coaching questions. And then I try to get at least a week of info, like I try to practice some stuff in order to come prepared. I mean, I'm a student. I've been a lifelong student. I've a bunch of degree, you know. So like for me, I was just sort of always taught like don't go to the mentor until you have tried something. And so I just sort of operate off of that. And I actually do. I mean, I could show you the list of things that we could talk about, but that's sort of the one where it's like this is going to be the most useful, and then I try it. And then next month when I have my next call, and I try to sort of have a regular interval of like 4 to 6 weeks of calls so that I can try stuff out in between.
Well, and the good thing about it too is a lot of times just through the process of doing that, you start solving your own problems. You start realizing I don't always need, you know, some, you start getting really skilled at doing it. So anyway, so let's think about morning routines, right? So I think the first thing is deciding what you want your routine to be. So all these books, like I'm actually reading this one right now.
When you said that, I was like, ooh, more things to read.
Yeah, like, and I've got my Michael Hyatt planner over here where they have the rituals and stuff. But one of the things that I did learn from Michael Hyatt that I think is always beneficial is you don't want an overly complicated morning ritual, okay, especially in the beginning. People who get to, like a lot of times in these books that have these like five things and these long steps, I think they sometimes forget where they once started. So I think for you, it's like, let's identify first who you want to be in the morning. Like, what do you want that identity to be, especially when you're on the road? Do you want to be?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what I want to be and what I have to be is professional. So I'm transitioned from a job where I start at 1 and go till 9 to a job where I start at 7. Like I have to be presentable on my first morning at 7 a.m. because I do teaching. And so I facilitate a program. And so my first morning I'm there registering people at 7 a.m. And so, I mean, going back from like, I have to look like a professional person, like with the grown up in the room by 6:59.
Right. Okay. So then you need to start backing it up to, you know, in order to like my goal. And I would also think of like, not just the end was like to you, that's your goal. The goal is to be the professional person by 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Who do you want to be before 7? Like, what is it that you want to accomplish before 7?
I think that's where my brain goes to a lot of sort of racing thoughts. And then the feeling is confusion because I've never had to present at the level that I have to, like I'm wearing business formal and I do a face every morning. And so like, I've never had to do that. And so I think like those things sort of trip me out. Like, I like making my 24-hour plan and like, well, waking up, first of all, is not an option anymore, you know, because now I have to, because I have to be somewhere by 7. So waking up, doing my plan, and I don't do the Michael Hyatt, but I just started the Best Self Co. Planner. And so like, that's pretty good. And I've sort of juxtaposed a lot of your planner stuff into that. So I just have one and it's smaller. And so I can take that with me. And so doing that and sort of, and then like, and then looking presentable, I think like that's the thing that, I think is throwing me off. Cause I've never had to like iron my shirt and put on a face of makeup and make sure that every hair is in place before I go to work before now.
Okay. So let's just, to take the confusion out, by 6:59, this is who we want to be as far as a look, right? So what is the absolute, I want you to think about what is the minimum baselines that have to get done? So do you need to iron every day?
No.
But do you need to make space to be able to iron every day?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's no right or wrong in here. Let's just make sure we have a list of what has to get done. Okay.
I want to have, iron. I want to have my food plan for the day done. Okay. And at least have,
But here's the thing. Let's leave that part out. That's going to be your extras right now. Okay.
Okay.
I want to figure out how we can be presentable and professional by 6:59 in the morning.
I have to wake up.
Okay. So we wake up, we iron, we're doing makeup. Cause you've mentioned makeup several times.
Yep.
Makeup. Shower. Do what?
That's a new animal for me.
You'll get better. Trust me. You'll love it. As someone who does it every day. Shower. What else has to happen? Do you blow your hair out every day or do you only do that certain days or how do you do your hair?
I'll probably like straighten it once and then dry shampoo. Like, so yeah. So I think
so there,
yeah.
Okay.
Whatever that looks like.
Okay. All right. So we start here and you get really good at this part first.
Okay.
And that is like literally the protocol.
Okay. So just like, those are my 5 basics for
for being a professional and presentable person on the road. Like you have to back your time up from 6:59 that says these things have to get done. So I need to be awake by this time and functioning in order for all of this to get done. Then you get to ask yourself, okay, so what time would you have to get up to get all that done and get to work by 6:59?
Probably 6 because I'm in, like I stay in the place where I teach.
So you're like at a hotel or something?
Yeah. So I just have to walk down the hall basically.
Okay. So you need to be up by 6 a.m. and doing all this. Now you get to ask yourself, okay, do I want to right now for the next couple of trips, do I want to be the kind of person that's going to get up before 6 a.m. to do other things or not? If I am, I'm willing to get up at what time? And you take that chunk of time and you decide what's the next most important thing that gets done.
Okay.
In order for me to feel like a presentable and professional person, that is where your food plan and things like that come into play. But this is the thing. If this is the goal,
yeah,
then this is what gets focused on. Food plans and things like that may have to just be done at night before we go to bed now, when we're on the road. So your brain can start making it really clear about, all right, this is just a yes or no choice. Am I the kind of person who wants to get up early in the morning to do it? Or am I the kind of person who'd rather sleep till 6 in the morning the next couple months and try doing it at night? And if you notice you're not doing it at night, then you're like, okay, then I need to become the kind of person who gets up in the morning because I was consistently doing it then. Right. And now I just need to make that trade.
Okay. I mean, and then as I go and experience it, I can find the hacks of like, oh, I can iron the night before.
Yes.
I can do this. I can do that.
Yes. I would always remember if this is the goal, presentable and professional, first start with making sure that each day you get really good at just getting ready.
Okay. Yeah. I like what you were saying in the intro before we started chatting about sort of batching your life. Like I'm a huge I'm a huge proponent of doing the one thing at a time, which is why this seemed a little not insurmountable, but it seemed, it was challenging for me to think about on my own, because it's just a lot of moving parts, and getting up to speed on the job itself has been its own thing. And so, yeah.
You'll learn how to pack better and stuff as you go along. You'll find your hacks. One of the things that you can do, like just in travel hacks, is the next time you pack for a trip, make a list of everything you bring.
Okay.
This is what my husband does. When we go to, we have a Vegas trip list. He's such the nerd. It's a spreadsheet, but it has every single thing on there that we like to take. And when it's time to pack, he literally prints it off and he starts packing according to our spreadsheet.
Okay.
Because we've been enough times that we know these are the things we want to bring. You're going to be doing the same thing. And I would make, like, I would just track how you do your trip this time. Like, I would have, like, okay, when I arrive, the first thing I do is iron my clothes for the week or for, like, whatever. So you're going to batch your ironing. And then this comes out of the morning routine. And you know, you now, if you want to move, making your 24-hour plan in, that can go into ironing time.
Okay.
Like, now I can still get up at 6. I can give myself the first 15 minutes to brush my teeth, make my plan, and then get ready. You also can even notice, like, if I, let's say, you could say, like, on the day I leave is the day I wash my hair. And the next day is the day I do this. The next day I do this. And then I'm only washing my hair every, like, you just find as many systems as you can put into place.
Okay.
Where your travel routine becomes very automatic, and it will start feeling very normal. It will start feeling very easy, because you'll create your systems and routines for there. Your brain will not think of it as something new anymore.
Yeah. I did a trial packing for my next one. And as I re-listened to the Shira Gill interview you did about wardrobe stuff, and so I'm doing a capsule wardrobe in two different base colors. And yeah. So I have a rotation. So I have packing cues. And so I'm trying to figure that out now. Yeah, I haven't written anything down, but I have a pretty good idea. So I have the navy blue and the black bases. And then
I would go into the Facebook group too. There's a lot of girls that travel in there. We have Julie Collins travels a lot. And probably has every packing hack known to man. She has traveled for years. I'm trying to think. There's somebody else too that's a big time traveler. I can't think of her name at the moment. I see her face. She was at camp. But anyway, if you go in there, I would talk to them about travel hacks. Like, you know, what are the easy things to bring and do? And I also, because now that you're doing makeup, and it can be expensive the first time you do it, but it's a lifesaver. I have a travel makeup bag. It is the face I love in that bag. And it's a face pack. And then I have my home makeup kit. All I have to do is grab that. It has my shampoo. I have doubles of my shampoo, doubles of my everything. So that when it's time to pack, I can just throw in stuff in.
Yeah, that's funny. It was actually I had gotten the little travel things. And so I was just pouring, making my little potions of my night cream, my day cream,
you can afford it by doubles of everything.
Okay. I can't afford it yet. Give me a couple months in the new job.
Yeah. Yes. But if you can, then I would just buy the backup of everything you use. Just always have a backup, and that stays in your travel. That way, if you ever in your real life run out of something, you know, you have it in your travel. You can use that and buy a new one and throw that one into the travel.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think.
Ooh, Estelle is a personal stylist and attorney. I create a travel wardrobe checklist that I can post in the Facebook group. Tag Tina.
Estelle, yes.
What is your last name? Kocol. Kocol. Please post that. I want that.
Exactly. Everybody wants that. Thank
I'm
you.
Dallas next week. I didn't know what a personal stylist to have Estelle come here and live with me for a week.
I was going to talk to you, and this was a few weeks ago, but I had a lot of drama about buying new work clothes at the size that I'm at. And I figured it out and got over it. So we don't have to talk about that.
Good. Because you don't need to have that.
No. No. And I mean,
about version of you is wearing right now, because she's so invested in herself, she's willing to look amazing and feel amazing as she continues to make the best version of herself.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your weight. I'm going to tell you, like me, every day, I think I'm making the best version of myself. Like that part, like we all think that has to do with weight. It's nothing to do with weight. You have to adopt the mindset at the size you are now that you're making the best version of yourself every day for the rest of your life.
I like that. I haven't quite said it like that, but I've been trying to think that way. Like, okay, what, yeah, how am I going to make this day the best day that I can with what I have?
Yeah. Just, I'm always thinking, I'm always going to be making the best version of myself. And it always starts with the version that I am today. And there's nothing wrong with me today. I just like to know there's always room to grow. Like, and that literally is in my mind all the time. I don't improve myself. I don't do things. I don't work out. I don't eat because I feel like I lack something now. And I adopted that, all of you. I always look over here to where the list of names is. But for all of you, I did that shit when I weighed like 250. Mm. I had to start doing that then. That's what has set me up. It's because I had to get excited about who I was creating, and I had to quit trying to run from who I was. Like, it was really a mind shift to be able to say, like, the version of me today is working with the version of me tomorrow. We're not at odds, and this one isn't bad, and this one don't need to die, or any other bullshit that I used to tell myself. Sorry, my cats are wrestling over here too. So squirrel moments today. But I want you to like think about that. I mean, you have grown so much in the tribe. I mean, you got a new damn job. You're traveling. Your mindset is shifting. You got plenty going for you. And
yeah,
you're like looking like you're 20. And I know you're like, I don't know, 75. You never will tell me your age, but you know, now I'm going to assume you're 75 years old.
Okay. Works for everybody. Yeah. 2019 is going to be my year. And shout out to Jess and my action group. And I just signed up for the April camp. So I'll see you then.
Ah, good. Can't wait to hug you. All right.
It's going to be so nice.
And you will have an amazing packed wardrobe.
Yes, I will be the freshest one there.
That's right. All right. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. Who is next? Fermi. Y'all are in for a treaty. All right, the pressure's on.
I don't want to like this.
Yeah, the best coaching calls ever. It's got to be amazing.
I just wanted to say thanks. You know, that was nice to say, because I always get a bit nervous before coaching.
Don't be nervous. Just talk to me. We've talked enough now to where you should feel like you're talking to an old friend at this point.
Yeah, I do like to come in. Like I like to try and come on once a month or get one every month, so that way it's like good for me to like face some of the anxiety about getting coached. Because, like, on here, there's a lot of people watching, so it makes me a bit nervous sometimes.
You look good today, though. You look happy.
Yeah, I'm happy, although I've been struggling a little bit the last 2 days for some reason.
Okay.
But that wasn't what I was going to ask for coaching on. Like, I know that's just my habit. My mom and dad have gone to India for 2 months today, so I'm going to be, like, home alone for 2 months, so I feel, like, a bit lonely and stuff, but that's okay to be sad if they're away. So,
yeah.
It's not, like, a bad thing or anything bad's happening.
Oh, you're gonna miss them.
Yeah, so I was feeling quite down.
Relief.
So I tried to like change the story a little bit about that. That's okay. And I think because I had like quite a lot of wins on New Year's Eve, I was a bit in like New Year's Day, I went into a bit of like my old habits came. Like I felt a bit defeated because I started focusing on the scale and stuff again. So I was just like ignored that. I'm just gonna like work through that. But the thing I wanted coaching more was for, I noticed I like keep wanting to be in people's heads a lot and figure out what they're thinking, which is like a total waste of my time, and I keep doing that. So I've noticed, and I'm like trying to reduce doing it, but I just wanted more like maybe ways of doing it, because then I'm either like spinning in my thoughts a lot, worrying about things or being like over analyzing everything they do, or like being indecisive to try and figure out what they're thinking. And like, I can never figure out what they're thinking. So it's like a total waste of my energy and time. And then I sometimes like feel like defeated, or like it like changes. Like I have like feelings.
Do you think the problem is that you're trying to figure out what people are thinking? Or do you think the problem is the story you're coming up with when you go in?
Yeah, like sometimes I'm like telling myself, you know, like either I'm worrying what they think about me, so it's about me really, and not really about them then, because it's like what I'm thinking about myself probably. But sometimes I think because of like the story I told myself was like people hurt me and stuff a lot in the past, it's mm-hmm. kind of like I think I'm trying to be protective, but then I'm not really, because I'll isolate or distance, or you know, I'll tell myself a really negative story and it's maybe not true.
I want to pull something out that you just said. I don't think we've ever really coached on this, but this is probably what's happening here. Your story is that people have hurt you in the past.
Yeah. I know it's not a good story. And I think like if I tell myself that and I look out for signs by analyzing
but
and worrying.
Did they hurt you?
It's because it goes back to like when I was a child. So like, because I was like abused by my brother and stuff. And then like when my mom and dad had like all this trouble and there was like fighting and like domestic violence, I like blamed it on the other people. And I think I've like kept that story going on for ages. So now to me, it's just like this thing I always think. And like, I'm always like, be careful because like other people have like hurt you in the past, but they're not really.
We're going to talk about the present. Okay. It doesn't matter what happened. Okay. So I'm going to put in here just for everybody. Can I catch a lot of the newbies up on you just a little bit?
Yeah.
I think we keep talking about you as if everybody knows Permy. And like, there's like 800 of our closest friends have joined us and they don't know Permy yet. All right, so Permji is like, y'all should go look at her calls because we have watched her really transform with binge eating. I mean, this is why everybody says her calls, I learned so much, because she's very honest about it. She does her work. She shows up. She's made significant strides in it. The other part of the story is she was abused in the past. All right, so just, and that's all we need to know, right? All right, because that's literally, we could go all day improve things and make it sound bad and all this other stuff, which yeah. is what you're doing in your brain that we've got to unlock in order for you to get out of other people's brains or go into other brains and tell a better story. I don't give a damn whose brain you're in. Just get in there and pull the best facts out. Don't sit there and tell doo-doo stories. I'm yeah. in your brain right now. You know what my brain is saying? She thinks I'm amazing. I really hope she doesn't think that I'm fucking her up today. that's what I want to show you about these thoughts that are happening. They're being driven because your thought about your past. Let's put brother abuse, okay? My past hurt me. This is a thought that no longer serves you.
Yeah.
All right. How does it make you feel when you think my past hurt me?
I just feel like sad. Kind of.
And then when you feel sad about your past hurting you, one of the things that you do is pick other brains apart. What else do you do?
I like spinning the thoughts in my own story. So then I make it like not, well, worse, but then I'll like start finding more evidence and I'll start feeling like defeated, or I start believing thoughts like there's no point because I'm still feeling like bad about myself or my life. And like, what's the point of doing all this? So then last binge I had,
I was like, out of proportion.
Yeah, right. Like I'll just like keep spinning in it and make it the story even worse.
So blow shit out of proportion. And the result is I hurt myself. Okay? Yeah. The past is no longer hurting you. It's all what you're doing to yourself now. And that's what we want to focus on. We don't need to think the past, like this happened for a reason or anything like that. I don't even need you to go all the way there. I just want you to start telling yourself, past doesn't hurt me anymore. I either build me up or I tear me down. That's all that happens now. I think for you, we just need to start never saying this and thinking this anymore. So when you catch yourself doing it, you need to reframe it. It's like,
well, but like when I like try, well, I think like one of the actions maybe is like I'm quite defensive and protective. So I look, I'm always looking for, so I like, cause I look for that potential. Like I think the person is going to hurt me. So I need to like figure everything out.
If we can believe an inanimate object can hurt us, then we really believe that somebody standing in front of our face who lives and breathes words can hurt us. This is an inanimate object.
Yeah.
Past can't hurt you. What can hurt you is what you believe about your past. Right now, you believe your past hurts and your past just sits there. And I think when you start really making that tie, break, you'll also start making the tie break from needing to prove the point that things just hurt you.
Well, I think more for my past, like I did work on it a bit before I joined PNP because I had like done like some of the work before, and I now think like my past like proves me I'm really strong and brave and stuff like that, but I still attach to the people more than the actual past, if that makes sense. So like, well, then I look for the present.
I think you're bringing up a good point. I think what you've done is like you have figured out a way in your gut, your past hurts, and now you figured out a way to think about something hurtful that works better. And that never works.
Yeah.
It never works until you're finding evidence to prove that it really does hurt. By the way, you know, just so you know, it really does hurt.
It's like in the present, I'm looking for like signs that people are going to hurt me. So if I try and like get in a relationship or I have like, you know, work colleagues or like people I'm interacting with, I'm always like thinking, are they going to hurt me? And like being on the lookout for it. Cause then I don't, like I say, I'm protecting myself, but I know I'm not. But I'm like, well, if I just think, you know, they're not, and then they do hurt me, then I like blame myself for it. Cause I was like, you weren't looking out for it, that you don't look after yourself.
But I want you to see you still are locked in that people hurt you.
Yeah, that's like the one. I don't know how to stop like doing that as much, because I'm trying to like not do it, but I still do.
But do you believe people can hurt you?
I still do a little bit. Like now with the model I don't as much, but when I look at like when people, I suppose that like was the past, when I look at the major things that happened to me, then I'm like, oh, that is proof they did hurt you. But I could think about those things in a different way.
It's the idea of like, you still are locked in that people can hurt me. Like, I think you are like, all right, on an intellectual level, I know that when somebody says, let's say someone says, I don't want to have lunch with you. I never really liked you to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying. Do what?
That would make me believe that thought that people can hurt me if someone says something.
Right. Well, let's just imagine somebody says that. Well, people can hurt me. Rather than use, like, I think your thought needs to not, I think you're trying to go to, all right, say somebody says, I never liked you to begin with. What if I, like, you came on a call and was like, oh my God, I don't like you. I'm not coaching you out.
Yeah. I suppose, like, I just need to, like, really focus on the story I tell myself a lot. And I know I'm going to go to that story, they hurt me. But I could just make it mean other things.
But the problem is you're trying to feel good about something you don't want to feel good about.
Yeah.
And through that process, what you're doing is you're putting blame on the past. You're putting blame on the brother. You're putting blame on the people's words rather than just, what if you just had a thought, I choose my hurt? Okay. I think that's where you got to start, especially when you're like dealing with, like, when it comes to abuse. Because here's the thing, when it comes to childhood abuse, you were hurt then. You were a child. You didn't have the emotional bandwidth. You didn't have the things to be able to look at it different, get out by yourself, all those kind of things, right? That shit stops now, though. Anything that you think about it now, you need to be like, if I want to be hurt about it, I'm just going to own it's because I'm choosing it. I don't blame the past anymore. Because if you're choosing hurt, then when, like, I say, look, bitch, we're done coaching, then you can sit there and be like, well, I don't like that. That was rude. Like, you can not like it and be like, I choose to be mad or I choose to be hurt. I thought she liked me. I guess not. That's a very,
I like that one. If you just say, like, I choose my, like, feelings, like any feeling kind of thing. Like, you choose either to be hurt or angry. And then I was like, when you were coaching, I was thinking, like, maybe, like, no one can hurt you unless you choose to let them hurt you or be hurt.
No one can hurt you unless you choose it. This is how we know. There are people, like, Nelson Mandela spent half his life in a prison. In a prison. All his freedoms taken away. His core belief was the one thing they could never take away from him was, like, his thoughts and his beliefs. He could still choose not to be mad at his captors. Yeah, that's how we know. Like, and this is not because Nelson Mandela is special. Nelson Mandela just knew how to use his brain. We don't. We're learning.
Yeah, still learning. Okay, yeah. I think they need to work on that because, like, I feel like it's, like, not hindering me. Well, it is kind of my actions. I don't maybe take as much massive action in the kind of relationship stuff, which I think is, like, the next kind of stuff I'm trying to work on. But if I go around with that thought people can hurt me, then it obviously won't help me create the results I want to create. And then sometimes I'll, like, get frustrated. I don't get frustrated as much with my thoughts anymore, even though they're maybe not serving me, or get annoyed at them as much. But if I, like, do it for, like, 2-3 days in a row, sometimes I feel like I get tired and wore down because I'm wasting all this energy and time spinning, always on the lookout for kind of danger or, like, something bad happening. And it sometimes it's not even bad happening. And, like, I had, like, a fight with someone last weekend and we cleared the air and stuff and they told me everything was fine, but I still, like, didn't believe them because I still thought, like, well, if they're just, like, pretending and stuff like that. And it was just
in situations like that, that's where I tell myself I have no other option but to believe what they tell me.
Yeah.
I just cut myself off from, like, imagining. Like, when I catch myself imagining, this happens to me a lot. Like, I get a lot of, like, stuff thrown at me, opinions, a lot of opinions. Yeah. Right? And I often, like, I will feel hurt. And then I will tell myself, like, I only can make this mean what I want it to mean. Right now, I'm making it mean this is hurtful, and why do I need it to hurt right now? Sometimes I have good reason. Sometimes I want to be in my hurt. And when you want to be in your hurt, then you don't need to eat. You don't need to spin cycle. You don't need to do things. And then eventually you get to where you're like, all right, I just want to solve this.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened last weekend. Like, I felt hurt and I was like, because we had the fight and I thought maybe we won't be friends anymore and stuff. And then I didn't eat, but I just, like, sat and cried, but that was okay because I thought I'd, like, lost a friend. Well,
that's what you're supposed to do when you have a fight with a friend.
So, and then I was kind of, like, glad because it proved to me, like, because that was, like, one of the things I thought would be, like, something you maybe couldn't handle and you'd overeat and stuff and buffer, but I didn't. And I don't get, like, many, like, thoughts now when things happen, like, go eat. I'll just feel, like, shitty and stuff for a while. And then eventually now I'm starting to, like, learn to tell myself a better story about the thing. Like, even, like, with my mom and dad going away, I was like, oh, you're going to be alone. This is, like, a sign. I started telling myself, like, you'll be alone forever. this is what like the rest of your life will be like.
That's when doing a TDL and saying, what's true about this situation right now? That's one of the strongest questions you can ask yourself when you're a spiraler. Like if you decide to choose your hurt, the feeling will like, what do you think the feeling is? Like I choose my hurt.
Like you feel like kind of like in control and like that you're choosing it. So it's like you're doing it. So you're like not kind of empowered, but I don't know what the word would be, but like kind of in charge or like.
Yeah, it's like in control or it's like aware.
Yeah.
Like it always really centers me. I always feel like when I know that I'm choosing the hurt, it's like there's this level of pain coming from the thought. Like there's two models working here. There's what happened and then your thought that's going to cause you to feel hurt. And then there's the other model of what happened where it's like I'm choosing my, or like the pain, you can almost put in the C line, the pain of the situation because your this model works out to you thinking about it. Then you have the model of you thinking about it and you owning that this is all me. All me. And I'm okay with that. I'm always, to me, hurt, grief, anger, whatever it may be, is worth feeling when I've decided this is the appropriate feeling right now for me.
Yeah, that's like kind of what happened this morning. Like I started to feel like a bit worried because I was feeling down and thinking that I was going to be like alone forever and stuff. And then I was like, you're just feeling sad because your mom and dad are going away. That's okay. But you don't need to tell yourself like all this extra stuff. It's like okay to be sad that they're going. You're going to miss them. That's normal. But they'll be back. And you've like, they've gone before. Like they went last year and that was the first time they ever like went, which was like new for me to like deal with being alone and stuff totally by myself. Because I think that's one of my fears and stuff. So I was like, you've done it before. You can do it again. And it'll be a good experience for you and stuff. So that's been okay. But like I did used to get annoyed at myself, but I don't do that as much anymore. So that's kind of helped, I think, me move up a level.
Because you start saying what's true about this. You did that naturally on your own because you started shifting out of that woe is me mentality, the victim of this trip. I'm the victim of this trip. Here I am. People are trying to hurt me again. It's all victim mentality, just manifest itself with different thoughts. But when you decide to look at things like, you know, what's true about this right now, then it allows you to at least see the reality of it and be like, and the part that's not true, here's my, like, I will be alone forever. I'm going to be a spinster because my parents are going, where are they going? India?
They're going to India.
For how long?
2 months.
Yeah. Parents in India, 2 months. I'm going to be an alone spinster for the rest of my life. I mean, see where your brain goes is like, well, that's quite the leap. And when you write about it and you look at it, you're like, settle down, brain. They're gone for 2 months, you know? Yeah. And you get to start asking the question, if I wasn't going to be stressed about it and upset about it, how would I want the 2 months to go? What could I learn about myself during this 2 months? What could be happening this next 2 months that I can't do when my parents are here?
Yeah.
Like there's probably, I'm not talking about wild parties and stuff. I'm talking about like there's probably significant emotional growth that you get to experience when your parents aren't there. Like you need to experience loneliness and figuring out how to be with you without it being a catastrophe.
Yeah. You know? Like, I think it'll be good for me because I'll face that fear because I think that is one of the things I worry about is being like alone forever and stuff. And because I have that thought right now, I find it hard to like go into a relationship or something with someone. Because then
I would start doing models with your C, literally. I never marry. Alone forever. I would. No, I'm not joking 1 ounce.
I know.
I would put that up here. Because you act like that's a terrible thing. A terrible thing for me to be alone. I'm not joking, Burmy. I have run models before. Chris dies.
Yeah, you told me this on my first coaching call.
Yes, because I had this terrible, like, my brain would run wild. He would die, and I wouldn't know what to do, and, like, just all kinds of stuff. Every time he would eat a hamburger or not work out, my brain immediately went to, my first thought was, he doesn't love me enough to take care of himself. He's going to leave me by dying. That is no way to be in a relationship. Let me tell you, it's pretty hard to drum up wanting sex when you're sitting around in fear that they're going to die every time they eat a cheeseburger.
You're crazy. Yeah. That's so funny. Like, when you sometimes the crazy shit that comes in your head, you're like, when you look at it and you actually think about it, you're like, it's like, now, like, I'm like quite intrigued by it sometimes, or sometimes it's funny. I used to always just like get frustrated and annoyed with it in the past, but not as much anymore. And I knew I'd tell myself the story, like, I'll always be alone. So I was just like, I knew, like, when it started to happen, first I felt a little bit like shitty about it, and then I was like, this is always the story you'll tell yourself right now until you like practice a new one.
I would do some, I swear to God, I'd do some TDLs on what you make it mean to be alone the rest of your life now and what it could be meaning.
Okay.
I would do that for real.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
What do I see you in 10 days? Camp is not long. Let's see. It is 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm coming like 2 weeks on Tuesdays when I arrive. So I think I'm like there in the evening.
Okay.
So I'm going to see if I like, cause I've been to like Portland last year and I got really jet lagged. So I just slept the first day, so I didn't want to come on Wednesday, and then I was really tired for when 2 days started, because I heard 2 days quite intense.
It is. We have some people that sit Friday night and go to bed. This last time, there was like 5 of the 20 that literally didn't even make it to the first night of camp. They're like, I've got enough. I've just got to go to bed. I'm going to try to, like, I don't know, give y'all energy drinks or something beforehand. So we'll figure it out. But yeah.
Yeah.
The coaches and I will all be there Wednesday. We're having a big meeting and everything. So we might see you around the hotel.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right. We'll see you soon then.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Bye.
Bye, lady. Another good call. All right. Let's see. We also have Barbara and Janice. Barb, there you are. Oh, let me unmute you.
No, it's itching. Sorry.
What are we coaching on?
So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is my first Zoom call. So I have three things that kind of hold, that I guess I get stuck in. One thing is that I'm really successful, like, in other areas of my life, like my job and just, I guess, being a mom and friendships, but I'm not as successful in weight loss. Another thing that I get in my head is that I have to complete everything, like projects or organization in the house, before I can work on myself for weight loss, or just, you know, the time to do the journaling and the TDL, that type of thing.
How much time do you think that takes?
How long do I think it takes? Not long, like 15 minutes. I think. I mean, I use it as an excuse. I mean,
I want you to really know what your excuse is running up against. 15 minutes. Why not just do that before you tidy up?
Yeah.
No, I want to know why don't you?
Why don't I?
I literally want to know why.
I think I prioritize myself last. You know, like, oh, I need to.
No, you're prioritizing yourself, jackass, first. That's a lie we tell. There's the real lie.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing the hard stuff. You're doing the stuff you enjoy. You wouldn't be tidying up and doing all that stuff if it wasn't for the fact that you were putting yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to do the stuff that's comfortable. I don't want to do all this other shit. I got my own back.
Yeah. That's true.
You're not putting yourself last. You're putting yourself first in that case. That is like one of the things that people say all the time that sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's very new agey. It's very, somebody wrote that on a blog with a peaceful elephant sitting there and all this other shit. No, you guys are selfish as the day is long. I'm just going to blow all y'all's bubble. Ain't none of us that nice.
Mm-hmm.
We are always motivated by what's going to make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee when you're tidying and organizing, you are thrilled to be doing it.
I don't like organizing. but
you're choosing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you choosing it?
I think I'm choosing it because probably it is easy, because it's not something I have to think about, right? Like I know how to organize. It doesn't get my feelings opened up. So
is it hard for you
to organize and like
organize?
No.
Are you good? Would you consider yourself successful at it?
Yeah. It's
no wonder you keep doing it. We all love doing the shit we're good at. It's like, why would I ever want to do something I'm not good at?
Yeah.
I want to keep reiterating all this success I'm having. So let me avoid the area that's going to require me to be a hot mess.
Right. Well, and I guess that ties into why am I successful in other areas, but not that as well. That's a great laugh. Like, good work. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's successful people, I swear. This is my thought, because I'm a successful person. We want to stay in our zone of genius so bad. It's like, oh my God, I'm so good at this. I can't tell you how many times a day I have to make myself do things that I stink at, because there's so many that I'm good at that I just want to get over there and mess with it.
Yeah.
Because it feels good, because you feel like an authority, you feel like a success, you feel competent, you get to feel the things. Mm-hmm. The only way you're going to be able to feel those things in weight loss is to go through the part where you feel ignorant, stupid, imperfect, alone. What are some of the other amazing feelings we get to feel when we're losing weight? Left out. But you have to work through all that. To start getting better at things so that then they become the successful things.
Okay.
That's why I'm really big on teaching you guys, especially for successful people, start with one little thing at a time and get good at it. Because your measure of who you are is like, like you said when you got on this call, I am a successful person. The second you start doing something you're not good at, it goes against the grain of who you are.
Right.
And you will want to quit it every time, because it's like, but I'm a successful person. I don't like being a fuck up.
Right.
You're going to have to love being a fuck up a little bit at a time.
Right. And I think some of your lives last week were very helpful, because I tend to take on too much. I am going to try to, like, I'm trying this weight loss thing. I take on, like you said, you compared it to exercise. Nobody's going to go to Camp Gladiator the next day and run a marathon. You have to transition into it. So that was very helpful to me, to be like, I have to take this in little nuggets. It's, you know what I mean? That's the only way I'm going to be successful at it, is if I accomplish one thing at a time. I accomplish 24-hour planning.
What makes you good at your job? Like, what are your skills that make you good at that on a high level?
I think probably my best thing is my communication, and strategic in nature. And I'm also like, one of my top five strengths is like developer. And I can develop people, and I always sense I can bring people together too. So there are a lot of times in the office, you have office politics. And so I love connectiveness and positivity, harmony. I bring all those things. And so I guess that makes me, it does make me successful.
I think you should for sure then start with your 24-hour plan and writing about it.
Okay.
The skills that you have, which is like being strategic, to start looking at 24-hour plans and where they're going wrong. I want you to think about it like at work. If you had a team that was working on a project and they were bringing to you the project plan and like, here's the things that are going wrong. You probably could help them figure it out.
Right, yeah.
Because guess what? Right, you're not sitting there going, oh my God, y'all are never going to be able to like finish a project ever. I can tell, because you failed so many times before. Let's just all go. Like, you would never walk into a meeting and do that.
Oh no. And that would piss me off too. I'd be like, what do you mean you don't have a plan? Or you obviously have your timeline. What's wrong? You have to readjust your timeline. You have to do all these things in project management.
Because you don't have drama And you're good at office politics and like putting people together and stuff. You got to do the same thing with you. You need to notice your own office politics.
Yeah. I need to call me on my bullshit.
Yeah. And not be upset that you have bullshit. Right. It would be like you walking into, let's go back into our fictitious work environment. It'd be like the first time two people didn't get along and they talked behind each other's back and then went to their manager. You were like, we're going to have to shut the company down. It looks like nobody, I just can't believe this happened. I never in my life, when will all this stop?
Right.
It won't ever stop. No. Like managing people is always managing people. It's like you fix one person, guess what? The next asshole comes up. Yeah. There's always a jerk to take somebody's place. The same thing with your thoughts. You'll clean one up about your ability to follow the plan or what you're putting on your plan or whatever it may be. You'll like say, all right, I got you tidied up. The next asshole thought will just come right on in. Mm-hmm. Will always be there for you to work on. So I want you to think about what makes you good as like in business just needs to be rerouted and rethought about in your plan. So don't get upset with yourself when you want to judge it. Just be like, if this was a meeting, would I be sitting around judging everyone or would I be solving problems?
Solving problems.
That's, you have to do the same thing for you. You got to quit judging yourself and start solving problems. I think 24-hour plan literally will be the thing for you. Mm-hmm. You get really good at that plan on creating it and evaluating it and tweaking it and stuff and getting to where you're really following it, then I'd probably add in the hunger scale next.
Okay.
You can be mindful of your hunger scale while you're doing it, but I would make the primary focus first, making sure that you're just doing the plan, getting where you're really good at it and stuff. And then you start working on, okay, now that I'm doing this on automatic pilot, now I'm going to really dial in my hunger scale.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I promise you, well, and here's the magic part is when you're not avoiding your 24-hour plan and wondering if you're ever going to get your shit together and you have all that drama cleaned up, you'll probably eat up anyway.
Right. And I do. My thing is like nighttime eating and snacking. And I did, when I was doing the plan better, I was, working on that and addressing the issues of why do I feel like I need to snack at night, watch a show with my husband at the same time, because it was my way of numbing out, you know, or whatever, but it was my way of just not dealing with what I wanted to deal with and not working through the process.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's always what we do. We always go to what's the easiest rather than like just challenging ourselves. Though I want to say this for my newbies, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to feel bad.
Right.
Like that's literally always the worst thing when you're not eating and because it's not on your plan, you're going to feel something in your body. Feelings are always manifestations in our body of the hormones our brain releases. That's all that's on a like scientific level. That's all that goes on. We'll have thoughts that will cause feelings. But nothing else is actually happening to us. In our brains, though, we're like Permie in the last call. Parents are going away for 2 months. Oh, my God, I'm going to be an alone spinster the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, you don't have a snack with your husband. Oh, my God, we'll never connect again. You know, whatever your thought is, it's always something overly dramatic, right? I always stop myself and I say, I know you're uncomfortable. I know you want it. I know these things. The worst that's happening, though, is exactly what's happening right now. It's these thoughts and these feelings.
Okay.
And I just tell myself, hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there, you know?
Yeah. And I think for the other thing that you said, because I know a lot of times I'll be like, I just need the motivation. And it's like, motivation doesn't come. It's like you have to put in, you know, every day. And every day you go in and you just keep falling back on the plan. And then the motivation comes a little bit later, you know, once you just gotten your plan down and you feel comfortable in it. So
it's like a snowball effect. The best way to start off, most of us, when we think about motivation, we think about it as like, I want to be motivated. Like I am on an NFL team running through the tunnel at the Super Bowl. It's like, we really don't need that much motivation. What we need is to feel a tiny ounce to make a 24-hour plan that's realistic. But in our heads, it's like, if I'm not just like, January 1, confetti cannons, and going to town, I must not be motivated. It's like, you can be motivated by just being like, you know what? I'm just ready. Let's just go for doable. Let's just go for prepared, ready, all in. Like, I always think about my level of motivation to do things. I'm rarely, like, excited. Mm-hmm. I'm usually more along the lines of feeling prepared.
Okay.
Feeling ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost always will, like, before I start a big project or whatever I'm doing with you guys, even before races, I usually just take a really deep breath and center. I'm never just like, time to work. I've had like 3 cups of coffee today and I'm still not highly motivated.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yes. You get in there like a strategic boss.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to work on. So I appreciate it.
And, you're welcome. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. That was a good call. Man, I'm on fire today. Must be all that coffee. Is Janice here? Janice Feller? Whew, man, my pits, y'all. They are lit. I don't know what it is about this room. My new house, I pray to God it's not like this. Oh, I love this house, but I don't love the wonky air. I've even got a window open. Janice, I'm trying to unmute you and it's not working. And your camera's not on either, hon.
Can you not see me? I can see you.
I can't see you at all. Looks like your camera's not on, but I can hear you now. And it looks like on my side, I can't even get the little microphone thing. Say something again.
I'm here.
Okay, good. All right. I'm just making sure. On my side, you look muted. That's why I'm like, I keep thinking that we're not going to be able to hear you. But I think your connection's a little wonky. So go ahead and tell me what we're coming on. And then if it's wonky, then I'll take it down and I'll talk about whatever your stuff is.
Okay. So what I want to get coached on is, when I was younger, I, ran into, when I was a teenager, and I was fooling around and, had sex with a guy. And after I had sex, he told me that he was HIV positive.
Okay.
And ever since, I have this mental block that if I'm fat, then I don't have it. And I don't know how to get rid of that thinking because I've been tested, I'm negative. But every time, even when I try to lose weight, then I feel like there's something wrong with me.
So, all right, let's get the error thought. It's not that you think, well, if I'm overweight, I won't be HIV positive, right? Because that has nothing to do with it, correct?
No.
Okay. And that's because at first you said, I don't know if you meant to say it this way, but if I'm overweight, then I won't test positive.
I think what I meant to say is more of, you know, because like when people that get diagnosed with cancer always lose weight and maybe it's the nurse mentality in my brain, but you know, I feel like if I'm fat, then there's nothing wrong with me. Like I won't get sick or, you know, I hide behind it, I guess, more than anything. And I don't know how to get rid of that thinking. It's not even necessarily about the HIV, but that's what stemmed all my weight gain. If it was fat, I didn't have it.
So your belief system ultimately is as long as I'm overweight, I'll be fine.
Yep.
So why do you want to lose weight then?
Because I don't like being the weight that I am. I am uncomfortable. I don't feel good. I feel like shit. You know, I mean, honestly, my clothes don't fit. I don't like being overweight. And I keep trying to do all of these things and I never follow through with it. Like I joined in March and have listened to podcasts and done that stuff, but I always drop back into that mentality, you know, and I don't know how to stop that thinking. I've tried. I've tried doing it.
Here's the thing. You can't stop that thinking. Okay. That's the biggest, like, this is what most of us are missing when it comes to the thinking process. You guys are wanting to stop your old belief systems. And that's not how it works. The first thing that we do, so you have plenty of evidence working right now that being overweight completely harms you. Mm-hmm. When I said, tell me why you want to lose weight, you didn't say, well, because I'm so healthy. You told me you were unhealthy, that you hurt, that like all these things. So on an intellectual level, when you re-listen to the call, I want you to know, you know that on an intellectual level, it's harming you. Health-wise, it's not keeping you healthy. It's already showing you in your body physically, your body doesn't like it. Your body is already catabolizing itself. It's already breaking down. It's already doing all these things you fear HIV or cancer will do to you. Your fat is doing that right now.
Exactly.
Okay. So I can't really tell how you're taking all this in because your camera is acting crazy on my side. It looks like you're just staring off nowhere. So, so just so we're all clear, you're like, amen, sister. I am feeling like shit. I am all on board with the shit train now. But that is what I want you to see, is that I want you to understand that your brain is not going to stop telling you the old story. Right now, what you are in is awareness of your story. Okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. And then you're also now going to have to be in awareness of the other story, which is going to be over here. So you're going to have two going at the same time. Right now, what I think is happening is you're not getting any traction on believing this one because you're pissed this one won't go away.
Right.
His job is not to go away. His job is to sit there and remind you and talk to you and do things. And your job is to be like, no, we believe this now. Just saying, this is the new story. This is just what we've always told ourselves. So we didn't have to either do the work of losing weight, or we used to tell ourselves this because we were afraid of being hurt by disease.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure. I don't think this is you being hurt by disease. I think this is all, if I had to guess, you had sex and you feel more worried about being hurt by people, and you use excuse as a, or you use a disease and stuff as like the buffer between the two.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know. You tell me.
No, I think that's true. I think that, you know, a lot of my weight has stemmed from, and I put on there too that, you know, one of the other mental blocks that I have is if I lose weight, then normally something bad will happen in my life. For example, I lost 35 pounds, started taking care of myself. My husband left me. And then I started losing weight again. I gained it back, which is the weight I am now. But prior to that, I had lost probably 28 pounds on Weight Watchers. And my mom got sick and passed away. And so I also associate weight loss with tragedy in my life. And so it's really hard to get past that.
Yeah, but you just have to start telling yourself the truth. You've been lying to yourself about it. Did your husband leave you because you lost weight? He was like, oh my God, you lost weight. I'm out of here. We're done. Did your mom go, all right, you lost weight. Now I can die.
No,
right.
Not at all.
When that guy had sex with you and he had HIV, was he was like, oh my gosh, you're thin and I want to spread HIV.
No, it's stupid. I mean, that's the thing, is I say it and it's like the most ridiculous ass thing in the world. Like,
and that's what you need to tell yourself. Do you ever say like, no, that's ridiculous?
Yeah. And then it's like, I stand on the scale and I'm like, oh shit, you know, and then I instantly go back into that mentality. And I don't know why I have that deep embedded fear, but it's fucking stupid.
Now, first of all, see, this is why you can't drop it, because you're judging it. If you're judging it, it's because you believe it. Can't be mad at it. No, I know. Be frustrated with the fact that you don't want your brain to work like everybody else in the world. Mm-hmm. Be frustrated about that. Here's how the brain works. You've told a story for years and years and years that's been crafted. Your brain was trying to make sense. This is how our brains work. You experience hurt. Husband leaves me. Mom dies. Guy with HIV. Your brain says, we need to quit getting hurt by people. Like, you know, feeling hurt's terrible. What's the common denominator? Oh my God, you were thin every time. Let's never do that again. As irrational as it sounds, the brain works in the background all the time on as a computer, trying to make sense of the world. If it didn't, you'd be a dog running into the street, getting run over by a car. Dogs don't make sense of the world. You know what they do? See a ball and they run.
Right.
They don't have, like, they don't sense things and try to make connections. So we're different than the animals because we have reasoning that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And our brains are always trying to reason the world. What most of us never learn, though, is how to control reasoning. You're now learning that you can control your reasoning. You get to go back to all of these scenarios and tell yourself 1,001 times over and over again, I've been believing this was all because of my weight. My husband left me because our marriage wasn't meant to be. Had nothing to do with my weight. My mom died because she was sick. And that's what humans do. It had nothing to do with my weight. That guy who had HIV and slept with me was a douche. And sometimes there's douches out there too. I mean, yeah, like you need to start telling your brain the real thought tied to those circumstances. And you'll have to do that over and over and over again, Janice. And then every time it wants to tell the old story, you need to have compassion and not judgment for your brain. And he's like, I know we keep saying that, but we're going to keep retelling a new story until we actually believe it. Until it, like, it becomes the first thing we think of. And when you step on right. the scale, you need to do work and be prepared every time you step on the scale. Like, losses mean good things. Like, rather than letting your brain sit there and think about, oh my gosh, you know that when you start losing weight, terrible things start happening for you. Otherwise, you're going to look for something terrible. Your dog will die. I don't know if you have a dog, but let's pretend you have a dog. Your dog will die and be like, it's because I lost that 15 pounds.
Right. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. I think it's just the association, and I need to get past that, which is why I'm talking to you.
Yeah. So phase one is awareness, which is where you're at now. The next phase is acceptance. This is where you're not right now. Acceptance is where we say, oh, these are the things I think, and I'm okay with that while I do the work of changing it. Rather than where you're at, it's like, I'm aware of it and I hate it and I need it to stop. And it's so frustrating, and only dumbasses do this. And that whole story, that's you fighting your awareness. What happens is if you keep fighting the awareness and you keep judging it, you'll quit being aware of it. You'll accept those thoughts again as your truth. It's a lot easier to just be like, no, she was wrong. It is because I'm overweight. That's why people leave me and bad things happen. Or that's why when I'm thin. That only bad things happen when I'm thin. It's all roses when I'm overweight. And then, but acceptance is where we quit judging it and we're okay with it being, mm-hmm. Hey, there's two things going on here now, the new story, the old story. And then the third phase, which is the good phase, is wisdom. And this is where you still have your old story you remember and you believe the new one. And then every time the old one comes up, you're just like, that's hilarious. It's like whenever, like when I think I'm going to, like if I hit my period and I gain 4 pounds, I swear to God, my first thought is always, do you think you're going to gain all your weight back? I mean, it's only been 14 years and I run a weight loss empire at this point. And my first thought is always, probably going to gain all your weight back. And I always just laugh right. about it. I'm just like, seriously, you teach people? I'm like, slow down. It's called your period.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I go about my day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When you're in acceptance, you're going to be telling both stories. And about half the time, you're going to tell the right one. About half the time, you're not. But you're going to get good at it and not care that you're telling terrible stories. You're going to make sometimes good choices, sometimes not so great choices. And you're going to keep on working on it. Then you'll get to wisdom where 90% of the time you make good choices and 10% of the time you're still screwing up, but you're totally okay with it.
Right.
My friend, that's how the world works.
I know. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, I want you to get on your plan. Whatever's happening for you, I want you to do it knowing you're going to be afraid at first that all this stuff is smoke and mirrors, but that's okay.
Okay. You got it.
All right, lady. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. There was one. Let's see. You can use the Q&A feature on these calls, guys. I always answer the questions at the tail end. So if you come in and you have a question, you can put them in there and I'll answer them at the end. We almost always have a coach on the call. Not always, but if you ever want to ask a question, if one of our coaches is on the call, they'll answer in the chat. Otherwise, usually what will happen is our members will answer. If you don't get your answer there, you can throw it over into the Q&A, but I answer those last. All right, that's it. Queens Club. If you're in the Queens Club, I will see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, guys, I will see y'all. I don't even know what day. I'm sure it's soon. It's probably Sunday, if I had to guess. It's my next coaching with the tribe. So see y'all then. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all. Ah, where's my end meeting?